of Exodus chapter 23 and from verse 15. Exodus 23 and from verse 15. If you can understand that Pentecost happened at a very specific time in the Jewish calendar, you'll understand in part the significance of the festival of Pentecost. Okay? So God has got times and seasons. God has set the moon and the stars in their spaces and places. God decrees the times and the seasons. So when God chooses to send his Holy Spirit at Pentecost, you want to understand why he chose that particular moment, that particular season, that particular time, and what time was it that he chose? Well, God chose what we understand in the Jewish calendar to be called the feast of the week of feasts, a festival that was celebrated every single year, and it was the Feast of Weeks. Shavuot was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. So 50 days after the Passover, the second day of the Passover, they would count out 49 days, 7 lots of 7, and they would celebrate, on the 50th day, they would celebrate what this was called, this Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks forms three in a trilogy of feasts where the people of God would have to go to the place God had called them to come and worship him. So they would take their offerings, their thank offerings, they would come to the temple and they'd worship. So you have the Passover, then 50 days later you had the Feast of Weeks and Shavuot, and actually it was a grain festival, it was a harvest festival. They would gather in all the harvest, all the crops, and they'd bring the first fruits to God. Feast of Weeks. It's Shavuot, a very special time. And it was this time that God chose to send his Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Really interesting. Really significant. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 15. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days and eat bread made without yeast as I command you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the feast of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in your crops from the field. Three times a year all the men are to appear before the sovereign Lord. Many people that read the Bible think that all these three feasts were really one continuous celebration, but they were distinct feasts. Next slide, please. So Shavuot, if you like, Pentecost, was one of the most popular of the Hebrew annual festivals. People came from all over the diaspora, all over the world. Jews came to Jerusalem in that week. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews would congregate in that week in Jerusalem. So there was a multitude of people that were going to turn up from all over the world in that week. Why did God choose that week? Why that week? Well, we begin to see a pattern and we begin to get insight. They came from all over the known world. Next slide, please. So the significance then of Shavuot of this week was originally an ingathering, agricultural festival, as we've said, celebrated 50 days, you know, after the second day of Passover. And here we find it coinciding with Pentecost. Next slide, please. So, what was the requirement, if you like, of the Feast of Weeks? What's the significance? Why was it celebrated in the way it was? Well, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, commemorates the giving of the law. One of the things they celebrated at Shavuot in this festival of ingathering was they would remember that on Mount Sinai, God gave them the law, the Torah. So it's one of the things they celebrated. They celebrated what God had blessed them with in the abundance of what God had supplied to them. And they remembered in that week that God has a special covenant with them. God has a relationship with them. So in the minds of the people of God, they were not just celebrating an abundance of harvest all together as a people, they were also celebrating the law, the word of God, which was given to them by divine decree on the mount. They were celebrating the covenant relationship that they have with God, who is Father of us all. In the Feast of Weeks, they were required as a people to do certain things. Everybody stretch out your hands. Just stretch out your hands for me. Just everybody stretch out your hands. Now, thank God you've got hands that you can stretch out. Some people don't have them. Now, as you stretch out your hands, just look at what's in your hand. Okay? Nobody could come into the presence of God without bringing something to him. You couldn't come to worship God. You can put your hands down. You couldn't come to worship God in the Feast of Weeks. You couldn't come without bringing something. If you're going to worship God, you came with something to worship him with. You came with a thank offering. You came with a gift for the divine. You came with something out of the abundance that he's provided for you. You came to honor God. I remember when I was a young boy, my eldest brother, when he first started work, he was a businessman. But I remember the first business deal he did. And, you know, and when he got was paid for the business deal that he did, I was watching this. He came to dad. And in our culture, you bow before your father, okay? In our culture, you not Hong Kong culture of a little bow, okay? No. In our culture, we get down on our hands and we bow right down to the ground before our parents in the morning. Okay? We honor our parents. I know you understand this. And so, but I remember he came back from with his first pay packet and he handed it to my father. The very first business deal, you know, the money he had made. He handed everything to my dad. This is the culture. Very interesting. My dad took it, this wad of money, it was all cash, and he just took something out of it and handed it back. And the culture is that in our culture, when God blesses you with your first income, you give it to your father to take whatever he wants out of it. And Jewish culture had this mindset that whatever you earn, whatever you have, it all came from God anyway. And if you would just honor God, we prayed and God did something, just a small little miracle for our brother Nick. But God wants to do many more miracles in this place for all of us. And therefore prayer is a powerful thing if you truly understand what prayer is. But as in all things, there must be integrity. If you have no integrity, you're going to struggle with your prayer life. If you have no integrity, if there's not holiness in your life, if you're cheating on your taxes, if you're abusing your wife or your husband, if you're not honoring your children, if you're not honoring your mother and your father, you need to understand things will be difficult for you. Because before God hears our prayer, He wants to know how we're treating our wives. Is that right, Jeff? Before God answers our prayer, He wants to know how we're treating our husband. Is that right, Mabel? And so we know that we come to God with something to give to Him. What you sow is what you reap. If you want to understand where the abundance is in your life, where's the abundance? If you're looking for it, why don't you start by being rich towards God? Why don't you start by being generous towards God? For what you sow is what you reap. And we understand that with God, how can anybody here outgive God? I mean, what can you give for the breath you have? What can you give Him back in payment for your life? No. We understand that He owns and has everything. I need to move on because I'm getting into preacher mode. And I need to teach. So first of all, they came with something to give to God. And this is really important. They brought loaves, they brought lambs. I mean, it's just nice that we don't have to bring lambs anymore. Imagine this place full of lambs. You know, there'd be nowhere to sit. And it'd be very smelly, okay? So we thank God, but it came with the offerings. They were also to rejoice, Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 11. And rejoice before the Lord your God at the place He will choose as a dwelling for His name, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in your towns, and the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows living among you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Now, just to say, this is again in the context of the Festival of Weeks. If you read verse 10, you will see that. And so we understand that one of the things that we were to do in the Festival of Weeks was to rejoice, to be happy, to smile, to be glad. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can see that smile on your face. Again? That's a weird smile, Adrian. Adrian's smile is frightening. This is a frightening smile. I don't know whether to look over there. You know, but the people of God, when they came, they were to rejoice. They were to tell the stories like Nick told this morning. Tell the stories of God like Edmund did last week. Say what God has done so that we can rejoice together. We can be glad and happy together. Now, this does not mean there was not sadness. Because we know that in this life there is pain. We know in this life, you know, even now Nick's wife has gone off to Hong Kong because there's pain in the family. We know there's pain in life. We know that tears are like, but nevertheless, when we come before God, we are grateful and thankful. And even if it's through tears, we rejoice in His presence and thank Him for His love towards us. He is good, and His love endures forever. They were to welcome foreigners. And Leviticus chapter 23, you know, because you made your home at the gate, you've become a place of refuge for any Hong Konger who happens to find their way to England. But not just Hong Kongers. Zimbabweans, hello obedience. And people from every nation, tribe and tongue, they're welcome. They were to, what? Look, when they were gathering in the harvest, why did God choose this week? Why the Feast of Weeks? Why did He pour out His Holy Spirit in this week? Why this week? You see, when all those folk came from all over the world, they would have had in their midst, they would have also had people who were not Jews. But had attached themselves to Judaism, like the Ethiopian eunuch who came along to worship in Jerusalem. So there have been Gentile converts that also came along. So what we had at Pentecost in the Feast of Weeks, what we had is foreigners being welcomed by the Jews. Now when we celebrate the Feast of Weeks, the people of God were told, you must remember the foreigners in your midst. Look after them. When you go and gather the crops in your field, don't gather to the very edges and take everything. Leave some on the edges for the foreigners and the poor so that they can have something to eat as well. The practice of a generous spirit towards those around us and in our midst. Thinking about the foreigner, the widow, the orphan. This was what they were meant to do. And finally, in terms of the requirements of the Feast of Weeks, God was so desired that his people would be forgiving of heart towards those in the midst who were in debt, towards those who had sold themselves into slavery because they had no money and they owed money, and so they said, I will serve you. God was desperate that the people would do a reset every 50 years. It's called Jubilee. The Feast of Weeks happened seven cycles of 7 days, at which point they celebrated the Feast of Weeks. The year of Jubilee was meant to happen in seven cycles of 7 years. Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee was a time when all of the land was to be left alone. Anybody who had debts were to be forgiven their debts and released. Anybody who had made themselves a slave to pay off the debts were to be forgiven their debt and released. In other words, it was a time when you had a reset, when you could start again. You could start your life all over again. Things may have gone wrong in your life, but now you could start your life all over again. You could have a relaunch of your life. God was so desperate to set us free from bondage. God wants to set us free from slavery. God wants to set us free from oppression. And he made sure that in the laws that it was always possible for at least once in a person's life for them to have a relaunch of that life. Very significant thing. Next slide, please. So Jesus taught the disciples about the Holy Spirit. He told them the Holy Spirit was going to come. He told them what the Holy Spirit was going to do, bring conviction of sin. He prepared the disciples to welcome the Holy Spirit. He told them, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. He told them when he goes to the Father, he was going to send another one, a comforter, the counselor, who was going to come. And so the people of God, the disciples, were prepared at Pentecost. They were waiting, they were praying, waiting on God to do the thing he was going to do. They didn't know when it was going to happen, but they waited. And God chose the Feast of Weeks to send his Holy Spirit. Next slide, please. Why then the Feast of Weeks? Well, because what God was showing us in the Feast of Weeks is that he wants to have a harvest. On that day, 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they all began to speak in other tongues, what happened? Well, each one heard them speaking in their own language, and 3,000 people, a harvest of souls, came into the kingdom of God. The first time the gospel was preached in such a way that multitudes came into the kingdom. God is after a harvest. And when he sends his Spirit, it's because he's after a harvest of souls. The Holy Spirit isn't given so that we can all feel goosebumps The Holy Spirit isn't given so that we can all feel nice and worship. Yes, we can have those things. We can have a wonderful feeling in worship. But the reason the Holy Spirit is given is so that we can proclaim Christ. So that we can make Jesus known to everybody who needs to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. It's to give you power to be able to proclaim and declare Jesus as Lord. 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. A harvest of souls. We know at the end of history, there's going to be an ingathering of the nations. Not just souls. Nations will turn to God. In one day, when the Lord returns, the people of God, as they see him come on the clouds, they will fall on their faces in repentance. And in one day, the whole of Israel will be saved as they see the Messiah coming. These things are yet to happen. The second thing is this. You know what happened at Pentecost? They heard the sound of what appeared to be a violent wind. They heard the sound. The people who heard the disciples speaking in tongues, they heard the sound. This signifies a prophetic outpouring of God's Spirit. You see, Pentecost was prophesied by Christ. The Feast of Weeks was prophesied by God. You are going to have a harvest. And at Pentecost, prophesied by Christ, I'm going to send the Spirit. God wants to speak prophetically into your life. God has got things to say to you that you need to hear. Not just from the Bible. Almost everything God wants to say to us is in the pages of Scripture, yes. But God also wants to say things to you now about your life. Now. Just like he spoke to Cornelius when he was praying. God wants to speak into your heart and tell you about your destiny. And speak to you about your future. God wants to open your eyes that you can, so that you can see and understand. Have insight into what he desires for your life. The sound, the prophetic sound. I tell you what, a church which doesn't have the release of prophetic utterance in it is a church that's devoid of the full breath of the expression of God's word. God wants to waken you up by speaking into your context. Showing you that he knows you. He knows, you know, when they got those interviews the next day, I don't know who prayed for him. I don't know where he was standing over there somewhere. Some of you prayed for him. You need to understand this. The minute you take authority in Jesus' name, everything changes. But if hands are going to be laid on you, they better be clean hands. They better have integrity. Because God will not be mocked. The Feast of Weeks. In that sound, there was a unity that came. Oh yes, in the garden we lost our unity. But you know the Holy Spirit? One of the things he does is he brings unity to people. He brings us all together. The Holy Spirit gives different gifts to different ones. But Jane, whatever gifts you've got, we need them. Wansi, you're welcome. Whatever gifts you've got, we need them. Thomas, whatever gifts you have, we need them. You see, the Holy Spirit's in all of us. And not, there isn't one of us that can do the work of God that God wants to do. We need one another. And that's what happened in Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came on all of them and all of them. Everybody say all of them. Point to yourself. All of them. Okay. Okay, that includes you. I pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh means all flesh. All believing flesh. Unity comes by means of the Holy Spirit. When each one is doing what they're called by God to do and serving where God has assigned them to serve. That's powerful. It's powerful. Okay, so the Feast of Weeks speaks about the unity that God wants to bring. And finally, purification. Can we have the next slide, please? So that's another spirit of prophecy. Next one. is next one is next one, please. God wanted to deal with, write his law on our hearts. You know, Pentecost speaks very clearly about the covenant relationship we have with God. God wants to give you a new heart. And actually, this is what was prophesied, wasn't it? When he sent his spirit, it was no longer going to be written on hardened hearts, but hearts of flesh. God wants to put his word in your heart. So Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit taking the word of God that's in your heart and applying it to your life. Next slide, please. At Pentecost, what happened? Ordinary people. This is Pastor Joanna. Ordinary people, like you and me, suddenly having an anointing from heaven. In other words, in Baptist church, we believe everybody's a priest. We're a royal priesthood. Everybody has an anointing from heaven. And you're meant to be a good steward of your anointing. What gift has God given to you? You are meant to be a good steward of your gift. You are meant to treasure your gift. You're meant to work hard with your gift. It's not youngsters. It's not just getting good grades at school that's important. Having a good relationship with Jesus is vital to your life. It's not just doing well in your workplace that's important. The spiritual gifts that God has given to you, you ought to be a good steward of this. You ought to work hard with your spiritual gifts. Serve the body of Christ with your spiritual gifts. Be a servant like Jesus was to your brothers and sisters in the community. A servant. So we see in Pentecost, God giving everybody power so that they could serve and establish the church. And in Pentecost, well, next slide, please. We see the renewal of David's kingdom. I don't have time to talk about that. But we do see that in this, Jesus is, in the sending of the Holy Spirit, we see that what was broken in terms of David's kingdom, Jesus now sits as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus now is enthroned. The lineage of David has come full circle. And now Jesus occupies that throne for all of eternity. The restoration of David's fallen kingdom, David's fallen tent, restored. Next slide, please. Have you noticed that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, what did God send? He sent tongues of
fire.
What did he send? Tongues of
fire.
What does fire do? Yeah. Fire purifies. If you want to make gold, it's got to go through fire. Even silver has got to go through fire. Even bronze has got to, in fact, any metal has got to go through fire. If you want to create it, apart from mercury. If you want to create something significant, it's got to go through fire. And the Holy Spirit, the word holy is important here. Holy means separated unto God. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit wants to separate you unto God's purposes. He wants to call you apart for the work of God. So when at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, he wants to burn up the nonsense in your life. Look, I don't know about you. I learned very quickly not to argue with my wife. There are two reasons why I don't argue with my wife. The first reason is I never win any argument with her. So I learned very quickly, If I argue with my wife, I'm going to lose. This is not a good idea. Does anybody here identify with this? I commiserate my brother, okay? Women just remember too much. You know, I'm trying to remember something I can say, okay? Because she said something to me that's upset me. Now I'm trying to remember. What can I remember that I can say? I can't remember anything. And while I'm trying to remember one thing, she's got three other things she said. So, why argue? You're going to lose. But the second reason is this. I know that when I behave like this, nothing good comes of it. Nothing good. I may say things I don't mean and wound my wife. Things I say in the heat of the moment because I'm upset and I'm looking for something to say. And if I happen to find something, yes, I found something. But do I really want to hurt my wife? No, God demands holiness. And as a young man, it was easy to argue. And I know I still look very, very young. But as I got older, I realized this is not good. It's not good for a man of God. It's not good for any man. So I learned within 5 years of marriage. I've been married a very long time. It took me 5 years to learn. But within 5 years of marriage, I learned this. That if my wife wants an argument, I'm not joining in. I refuse to argue. I will not join in. If you don't have an argument, you're having it with yourself. Now, there are times when I still fail, but most of the time, because I've made up my mind that I'm going to love my wife, when we have a disagreement, we don't argue. We talk about it. The Holy Spirit wants us to live with integrity in the way we treat one another, in the way we behave, in the way we carry the weakest members of our community. There must be holiness in the church. No sexual immorality. None. No sleeping around. None of it. No pornography. None of it. He is holy. And if you want to walk with the Holy God and see miracles and signs and wonders, then you must choose to be separated unto God's purposes. You must choose holiness. That's where the Holy Spirit works. In a place of holiness. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God he's not talking about you when he talks about sexual immorality. And finally, this morning, last slide, please. The Holy Spirit wants to bring life. He wants you. You know, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, out of your inmost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Look, I want, wherever I go, I want God to use me to do amazing things. Anybody here want God to use you to do amazing things? Yeah? If you want God to use you to do amazing things, put up your hand, okay? Right. I want this. But brothers, sisters, here's my challenge to you this morning, because I could pray for you to receive more of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to do it. But first, I want to ask you a very important question. Are you willing to be a good steward of the Holy Spirit in your life? The Holy Spirit wants you to bring many people to Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a life full of joy, even through tears. The Holy Spirit wants to make you generous of attitude, even to people that don't come from where you come from. The Holy Spirit wants you to be kind to widows and orphans, to those who are struggling. The Holy Spirit wants you to live a life of holiness, separate unto God. The Holy Spirit wants you to magnify Jesus. And so Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, fascinating time for God to send the Holy Spirit. But this is why. To remind us that he once they were slaves, but now they are free. Once they were in bondage in Egypt, but he came and liberated them and brought them from the Passover into a promised land where they could bear abundance of fruit. I'd like to pray for you this morning. I don't know if you would like to receive a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your life. If you'd like that, can you put up your hand so I can see? You'd like a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit? Can you put up your hand if you'd like that? Those of you with your hands up, please stand up and come and join me at the front. If you want this fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit, Now, just come and join me at the front if this is what you'd like. Just leave your seat, come and join me here at the front. If you want a fresh outpouring, a fresh impartation, you're saying, Holy Spirit, have all of me. Have all of me, Holy Spirit. Not just a little bit of me. I want you to have everything. Have it all. It's all yours. Just come right to the front. Move right in. Please come right to the front. Come right in, Thomas. Come right in. Please come right in. Come right in. Even in the platform, I don't mind. Come right in. Come right in. Even in the platform. Come up. Come up. Please come up. Joanna, come up. Okay, come up. Come up. Come up. Please, come and join me. Come right in. Okay, we're going to stand in the fire in a minute. Come right in. Please, come. Please, come. Please, come. Florence, I'm going to ask you and Jeff to come and pray. Come, come, come. Come. Okay, you're going to come and pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Come, please, come. Okay? Please, come. Come forward. Come forward. Please, come forward. Come. Okay. Now listen, the Holy Spirit will never do anybody here any harm. He's the Spirit of God. He loves you. You need, the Holy Spirit isn't like a demonic spirit. He's holy and pure. There's nothing dark in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never make you do anything. He comes like a dove, gentle, kind. The Holy Spirit wants to open your eyes to Jesus. He wants to help you with your walk. The Holy Spirit wants to make you fruitful so that you bear an abundance of fruit in your life. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so I'm going to ask Jeff and Florence to invite the Holy Spirit to ask for a release of power in our midst. And for the Holy Spirit to fill us all. In Jesus' name.
Okay, we pray. Okay. 神，我们都真的在这里将我们一班弟兄姊妹交你手一边。我们很愿意将我们的生命去交你手中。求圣灵去让我们呢进入我们的生命里面呢，去开我们的眼，让我们呢可以呢是去时常呢去被你去充满，去呢被你提醒，以致呢我们的生命呢是愿意呢是每一个每一个地方呢都是去被你去使用，亦都是呢让我们呢去被圣灵呢去有地看见呢这个这个地方呢这个教会呢的需要，让我们呢去圣灵时常提醒我们呢去真的去满有到别人的需要，亦都呢让我们可以突破一些呢我们呢一些的内心的一些的枷锁，一些的障碍，一些我们不能够去到你面前，我们去回应你的地方，求你都去帮助我们。
所以阿爸父啊，真的 感恩你，让到一班弟兄姊妹都愿意去回应圣灵的充满，去让你去真的亲自去改变，带领我们向前去走你要带我们的天路，就圣灵在这个时候跟我们同在，真的让我们一起去经历，一起去领受你的带领祝福。感谢主，听我祷告，祷告奉主耶稣基督得胜之名而祈求，阿们。
If you don't have a ministry, this is your opportunity. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what He wants you to do. Ask Him. Say, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to serve the body? How can I serve you, Lord? Just take a minute, listen to God. Let God speak to you. Now, if you know you've heard God, please tell Pastor Mabel, Pastor Joanna, or myself. Tell Wilson or Vivian. Tell one of us what God has said to you so we can help you. We can disciple you. Hong Kongers are here to change this country. The reason God sends people from the nations is because He wants to bless this nation. You're here to make a difference. Believe it. You're here to change this country. Believe it. God will make you the head and not the tail in Jesus' name. You will lead from the front. You will lend to many and borrow from none. The blessing of God is upon your life. And nobody can stop you from being blessed. And so Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. If you're asking God for the gift of tongues, just ask Him right now. You know, if you want the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues, and just ask Him to give it to you. Just don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, to give you heavenly languages. Ask Him. Keep on asking. Don't just stop today. Keep on asking until you get it. Jesus said, if we do evil, we know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So you ask Him. He's your Father. Keep on asking Him. I believe in this year, from the festival, that is going to happen, I believe we're going to see an acceleration in the church. Let me prophesy this over you. We're going to struggle with space like we've never struggled before. We're going to have the wisdom of God in what we do, because so many people are going to come into the kingdom and so many people are going to come into the church. And especially because today you've said yes to the Holy Spirit to help you, to give you a ministry. There's going to be more ministries burst in this place because you say yes to Him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, for your help. We submit to you, O God, and we ask for your help. Lord, if there's anything in our lives you didn't like, please burn it up, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Just take a minute to personally invite the Holy Spirit to touch you deep within your being. Put your inner eye on the Holy Spirit at this minute. Do a work, we pray, with each one of us for the kingdom of God. Amen. So, if you want individual prayer, there will be people here to pray for you. Okay, so if you would like prayer, I'm going to close the service, but if you want prayer, just stay.